Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric, that's Callie, and we are both teachers and tutors with LSAT Demon. Callie, thanks for joining. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for hosting the podcast. What are we interested in talking about today?
Yeah, so we got a email from Lindsay. Lindsay writes in and says, "Hi, I studied for the LSAT and scored 154 the first time, but I was pretty relaxed on my studying and only studied for about 2.5 months. So 154 after a couple months of relaxed study." We don't know anything more about what Lindsay means by relaxed study, but okay. "I'm studying for it again after taking some time off while I thought about it and wanted to take it again to go to law school. I decided after working as a paralegal for some time. Now I'm studying again, but I find it difficult to motivate myself to do it after working all day, and I'm not seeing a lot of improvement in my score." Lindsay also writes that she's stressed at the idea of trying to get into a competitive law school with a okay GPA, 3.45. But Lindsay says that, "I can't really seem to break out of this study and score rut. What do you recommend? All the best, Lindsay." So yeah, thanks, Lindsay, for the question. I think this is super common. How do we motivate ourselves to study in the midst of a busy working and life schedule? Callie, what do you think? You have any experience with these issues?
Yeah, definitely. I also had like some relaxed studying for a long time, probably like a year or so, and it did not make any difference. So I wasn't sure really what relaxed studying would mean to everyone. If like other people are using different programs, sometimes it means like watching lessons or just, you know, learning all the useless terminologies and the logic. And that really didn't help me because I was a philosophy major and I took a formal logic class, but it like didn't really do anything for me. So I'm learning all that again. And when it comes to doing the actual LSAT questions, it just like didn't help very much. So mm-hmm. I definitely was very discouraged when seeing my scores not improving. I think that's part of it that like, I think demotivates students a lot. But my personal thinking on this is that there are two aspects of it. One is that like, if you don't have the motivation right currently, maybe I think it's time to reconsider why that is, because I don't think it should be something that's difficult, right? Like motivation is not something that you can manually curate very easily. So if you are not that motivated to go to law school, then of course you wouldn't be so motivated to take the LSAT or to do enough practice on it, right? So I think that's one aspect of it, maybe just reconsidering what's, you know, the driving factor behind you doing this. And sometimes I think students discover that that's not something that they want to do, and that's totally fine. But I think there is a natural element that comes with motivation. Like it shouldn't be super difficult, right? And then the other aspect, I think, is just the obstacles, or as you said, like the lack of motivation, what's keeping you away from feeling motivated, right? And then there could be a lot of things, as you said, like burnouts is definitely one of them. And the other thing I think is just, you know, I'm an animal trainer, super trivial, but I know a lot about how reinforcement and punishment acts in, you know, our system of behaviors. And the key concept really is to do a little a day. Like that's, you know, how we train animals as well. Like they need to feel that reinforcement as frequently as possible. Like the value of reinforcement needs to be high, and then the frequency needs to be high as well for you to actually want to repeat the behavior again. So I think that's a good thing to think about when you're doing the LSAT. Like a lot of people start with, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, which is just not realistic. While others, if you just do one question a day and feel like you're really accomplished, you really understood what was going on, like that could be a lot more reinforcing than having a 4 hour practice test and then feeling like, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I can't even review anything. I didn't improve, and getting a shitty score, right? Like that's all really, really discouraging for people. So yeah. I think there are definitely a lot of obstacles as well. But do you have any other thoughts on like what obstacles there might be for lack of motivation?
Yeah. Well, I also noticed Lindsay mentions finding it difficult to find motivation after a workday. And I agree, after a workday, you're tired, you're burnt out, you just want to crash on the couch and watch TV, right? When I was studying and working full time and also working part time on the side of working full time, I knew I had to study in the mornings. And that required me to make a conscious change to my schedule, but I knew that I would be sharpest and freshest in the morning before then grinding through a day's work. So I would offer that, Lindsay, as maybe one thing to think about. If you're finding it difficult to get an LSAT study after the workday, does it mean waking up an hour or two earlier each day? It might. That's what I ended up doing, was I said, yep, okay, I'm going to start waking up at 5 so that I can do what I need to get in my LSAT study before work. And that worked for me. It's not going to work for everybody, but consider that. Can you rearrange your schedule so that you're not trying to study at the most like burnt out you are during the day? Is that what you did, Callie?
So I share a very similar experience, right? Like, I am not a morning person. I was not. Now I am, because of that. I was not a morning person. And I like my mornings to be slow. And like, but at the time when I started seriously studying for the LSAT, I worked 3 part-time jobs, which added up to be a little more than a full-time job. And I tried, right, like after work, I was like, oh, I have a huge chunk of time in the evening, which makes sense. So I understand why Lindsay might be thinking about that. But I was wondering if there is any particular reason for her to not consider the morning, if it's like, you know, if she's not generally a morning person, or what is the reason. But the LSAT is just so... I think like relaxed studying doesn't work because it's so like in the beginning, especially, it could be very demanding of your brain power. And if you, you know, even if you spend a full day relaxing, at the end of the day, you might just not have that extra brain power to process anything. In the beginning, I was reading each LR questions like 5 times to understand even what I was saying. Like if I were to, you know, study it in the evening, but I realized that in the morning, I can go a lot slower, but still like grasp the information a lot faster. So I think there is this like very obvious difference for me. That's why I decided to, okay, like, well, maybe I'm not going to wake up at 5 every day, like to start with, because that's not my routine, but I can start the change by maybe waking up just 15 minutes earlier, right? And do 1 LR question, see if I feel accomplished and review it. And then do my, like the rest of my morning, and then not worry about it for the rest of the day. So I think that's definitely a good idea to try, like with the schedule. And I agree, like motivation partially, I think, needs to come from like consistency. So finding a schedule, a conscious planning that like works for you in your schedule is super, super important.
Totally. The one last thing I will say, and I agree, Callie, that motivation isn't something that can be manufactured very easily, that if it's, it's kind of either there or it's not. And the human brain is very good at shutting off when it runs into something that's difficult. That's kind of what we've evolved to do to a certain extent. Like our bodies and our brains, when something starts to be really difficult, everything within us tells us, no, run away from that. Don't do that. That's the bad thing. We want to take it easy. We want to relax. We want to take it. That's just like an evolutionary thing, right? So recognize that if you feel like every time you sit down to study the LSAT, it's this huge challenge, you're going to suffer from motivation because your brain is telling you, no, this feels bad. Run away from this. What that means is if you do want to actually put together a sustainable LSAT study plan, you got to find ways of making it not feel so bad. And that might mean different things, but you have to, can you find stuff about the study that doesn't feel so hard, that actually feels fun to you? On a given day, that might mean just doing a game instead of RC, or it might mean just drilling, because drilling is going to give you stuff at your level of ability instead of doing a time section where you're going to run into a bunch of level 5 questions, right? Or it might just mean going to 1 live class and hanging out and chatting with people in the live class. So I think you got to find ways of making the study fun, and then the motivation will come from that.
Yeah. So I think I completely agree with that. And especially, again, going back to kind of my experience in animal training, a lot of it is how, you know, if the animal's failing and they're just not doing well and they're frustrated, right? Like the first thing you're going to think about is, how do I make this easier? How do I find any reason to give them some sort of fulfillment and reinforcement, right? So I definitely tried doing that for myself. And it was really, really helpful because I'm like, okay, if I do this 1 hour question, I can grab my favorite tea, like something like that. Or
give yourself a treat.
Yeah, like I pair the process of doing LSAT with, I know some people, like, you know, they every morning when they start doing the LSAT, they grab their favorite coffee, favorite tea, and then have breakfast right after, something like that, that helps just pair, like having a positive association with the whole process versus like, oh, going into it feeling really dreadful. So I think part of it is also, you know, cleaning up your self-talk a little bit and thinking about how do I actually feel about this process when I'm starting it, right? Like being a little more conscious about, you know, what's my internal feelings when I'm going through this, and when it's really negative, maybe when finding things that can make it a little more positive can help a lot. It goes a long way because, you know, it's just how our brain works. And if you just let it subconsciously run the negative thoughts, it just really gets in the way of your motivation. So I think that's a really good advice that you have.
Yeah, I like the advice to give yourself treats.
Yeah,
always a fan of that.
Exactly. And then, I mean, there are other like really fun tips that we use in animal training that I think was so relevant in LSAT studying. So there's one idea that you always want to end on a high note, right? Because that's something, I think the primacy and the recency bias, whatever it is, in the start, you want to feel good. And then at the end, you want to really feel good as well. So I know a lot of people who like study till they really burn out at one study session and then stop. That's just not ideal, right? You want to study, you maybe, you know, until when you're feeling really good about something, you really conquered a little hurdle and you're like, okay, I feel really good and I should stop here, right? So I think that's an idea to think about as well. And then I also have this idea of chaining. So chaining means that, you know, you see those dogs do like crazy routines on freestyle or like the dancing, but they don't learn all that at once, right? Like you learn one thing at a time. They learn one single move, right? And then eventually you put them together. So you really, it takes that perfection of that one move to be able to go into the whole routine. And nobody teaches dogs to like go from, you know, let's just run this through and see how it is, and then let's fix it. So this is very analogous to maybe, people thinking like, oh, let me just take a full practice test and see where I need to tune up. That's not how it works, right? Like we have to do one question at a time, make sure we really know what's going on. And when it gets really easy, then putting it together, putting 10 questions together, 20 questions together, and eventually 25 to 28, right? Like that's the realistic path. Like the rewards come from after each question, being able to do another question will be the reward in the chaining. And this is how it's working in like generally the animal training field as well. Like, you know, you do a movement and then the opportunity to do another one becomes a reward. So you want to really work yourself up to the point where you feel like this whole test is fun, that doing another question should be rewarding and exciting. And that should be a self reinforcement loop that you're going to go into, that you don't need external motivation, right?
Amazing. I feel like I've learned so much today. Thank you for all this info from the animal training world.
I don't know why, but it's super relevant.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So let's just recap. Chaining, embrace the step-by-step approach. You're not going to learn the whole dance routine in one go. You got to learn one step at a time. Ending on a high note, that's great, so that tomorrow when it comes time to study, you're thinking, oh, I get to go to a good place again.
Yeah.
When I study, it's not going to be like last time when I felt terrible at the end. No, end on a high note. That's great. And reward yourself every once in a while.
Exactly. And make things easy if it's hard. Like there's no point in trying. I think maybe a lot of law, like prospective law students are all type A and super perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And that's just weirdly detrimental to our progress because you're focusing on, okay, what is the score I'm getting? I need to get to 170. I need to be perfect today. I need to do everything right. But that discourages you from actually doing the work that you need to progress. And like every time you look at it, it's going to be negative, right? Every time you look at it, you're going to be like, okay, I didn't reach the goal, therefore it's not good. So I think making that goal a lot easier and simpler can serve a lot of people. And you know, then you're doing the same exact thing, but you're like, okay, I accomplished the goal versus I fell short every time. So I think that change of perspective is important too.
Fantastic. Callie, thank you so much for sharing all that. I learned a lot. Lindsay, hopefully you did as well. Lindsay, best of luck. Thank you for writing in. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.